there, so I don't know why it's saying what it's saying. I don't care at this point. Let's get the damn show going.
I'll just play the intro. They know what it is.
Oh, God. I don't even know if I have the intro, do I?
Oh, for God's sakes.
Shut up. Leave me alone.
You are fired, sir.
Yeah.
We're live?
Yeah, I think we're live. Hello, everybody. Here it is. Here's the intro. You know what it is? This intro gets flagged every time I do, but we're going to do it anyway. Fuck it. Who cares, right? King
It
Diamond
does get flagged
podcast.
Because it's copyrighted.
Welcome. Who cares? Play it anyway. I do what I want. Oh, it's downloading. You fuckers.
Phenomena. Do, 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 do. Phenomena. There we go.
Hello and welcome to the King Diamond podcast. Yes, my podcast. Welcome, Lou. Welcome, Ralph.
Good day.
Hello, Spagger McGow.
I didn't know you were Australian. I do a terrible King Diamond impersonation, by the way. If you can't tell, my voice is terrible. Oh,
yes,
welcome back.
Why don't you talk like this?
Welcome back to the King Diamond podcast. It's been a year. Freaking year since the last episode.
Wow.
It's insane. And
now we're finally going to end this because this is the last King Diamond album.
Well, for now, you've
no,
heard the
no,
news.
No,
have
no,
you heard the news?
No. I don't believe the news.
Well, the news is there will be a new album, actually, a first part of a new album. It's going to be two parts to this thing, apparently, by the end of the year. And there's going to be a tour.
Yeah,
the
right.
Tour will happen before the album release.
I don't know. I don't know.
I saw King Diamond, what, five, six years ago, where they debuted that song from the album that still ain't out.
You did get that single. I bought it, too. I got the single in the mail the other day. The what the hell's the name of that song?
Masquerade
of Madness. Masquerade of Madness. Yeah. It's a good song, you know? I like the sound of it. I think the drums sound real for a change, other than these... I don't know what the hell these drums are, but it sounds good, you know. But I hope, I don't even know if this song's going to be on the album. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But then there's also Merciful Fate, and they're coming out with an EP or something as well. And Becky Baldwin has joined the band, which, by the way, Becky will be here next week. We'll be live with Becky. And
all
unfortunately,
right.
Ralph won't be here, which sucks. But we're still going to do the show without you.
If you have any questions you'd like us to ask, Ralph, please shoot them to me. I'll make sure it gets through.
Yeah. Oh, I got one question you can ask.
What's
it
that?
Should be the first question of the show, actually. What? Say, Becky, would you mind coming back next week because Ralph ain't here? And then end the show right there.
We'll see what happens.
If she says yes. If she says no, then here's the question you should ask.
And yeah, what is it?
Why are you such a cunt?
Oh,
because she won't do next week's show, you know, and I can't be here.
Well, she just canceled.
But remember, they don't get offended by that word in the UK.
That is
I
true.
Gotta say, look, I have her on my Facebook, and she's always putting up videos. That is one awesome chick, far from a cunt. I mean that. She's awesome, man. She's very badass. Great bass player, great personality, and loves a lot of the great music I love, you know?
Yeah, and did you see the Merciful Fate tour that they did recently with her?
Oh, they didn't come down here.
They didn't come down. Oh, that sucks. Because I got to see it, and watching her play kind of reminded me a little bit the way like Timmy plays, the way she's like so into her bass playing and stuff like that. It's just she had that same feel almost. And I think that she's going to be really good. Apparently, she's working on the new song. I thought all those Merciful Fate songs were done, and this EP was going to be done because I've seen him say that a few times. But they're working on it now, and she's actually doing the bass. It's not going to be Joey Vera from Armored Saint.
It's going to be an EP.
Supposedly, it's an EP, and then I think following that, after I guess maybe the following year, there's supposed to be an album.
Yeah, because you know that 9-minute song, I'm not crazy about. As they're playing live, and you're going to put that on an EP. What's it going to leave? A song or two left?
Maybe three song EP.
I'll leave that for the album.
But yeah, I'm not crazy about that either. But supposedly, from what I read on this last interview that I did, that there's going to be so many more parts to this thing. And it's really what they played was undone. It's just an undone song. So I'm hoping that the album or EP version, whatever it is going to be better.
You realize it's been 15 years since Simon has released an album.
Yep.
15 years.
And album right here.
And Merciful Fate. Since 1999.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. But you know what? He's had a kid. And he did he have his heart surgery during that whole time?
Yeah, he had heart surgery after the last album, too.
Yeah, which is what the Institute, that was supposed to be the next album, was. It's kind of like where he got the idea from. It's supposed to be what it's about. But I don't know. We'll see, man. I just hope it's better than Give Me Your Soul, Please, which I see in the chat already. Pilot 7826, he says, not a great album in my opinion, just doesn't have enough memorable material. While this guy is like the drunk uncle who thinks he's hilarious, must be talking about Ralph.
What did I do?
I don't know. That's Stan. Don't pay no attention to him. These albums won't be done until King Diamond is in a wheelchair
and takes over the role of grandma. I'm sorry, couldn't help it.
And Lou rocking that serial killer look with the goatee.
Serial killer.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Is that the same idiot that gave me a jab?
I probably, yes. I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Delete that fucker, man.
Yeah, I really don't like him at all.
Yeah, man, you make him disappear. Send him to the cornfield.
Wait, isn't Pilot Stan?
Yeah.
Hey, fuck you, Pilot. No,
Pilot, these nuts.
But it's we've done this podcast for a very long time, and we're finally at the end of it, at least for now. Hey, boys, Scott Lubert. Hey, boys, how the hell are you? We are doing very good, Scott. And we're doing Please Give Me Your Soul. Give Me Your Soul, Please. Sorry. The last King Diamond album for now. I remember when this came out, and he was talking about this album artwork, and supposedly he has this picture in his house. Like, he bought this painting. And this painting is why this album became what it is, because he had all these images about why she's got all this bad. I don't know. Who the hell's hanging this up in their house?
Wait. He bought it?
He apparently, this is his wall. This frame, this picture frame and this picture and this wall, this is his house.
Whoa.
It could have been just something he was saying for the you know, the story of the album and interviews and stuff like that, but it's kind of a stupid looking picture, to be honest with you. Looks very AI-ish. I mean, it was AI because it was back in the day before AI, but it almost looks like the AI-ish. Iron. Yeah, it's like the Iron Maiden Dance of Death album cover with the shitty dancers around it. That's kind of what she looks like, because her hands are all like stupid looking.
Well, that was bad computer generated graphics. Know, and this looks like AI.
She's bad computer generated graphics. She's just terrible looking, but I don't know. But anyway, this cover is exactly what this story is about. This little girl gets murdered by her father, and I guess she had a brother too, but he's not on the album apparently. So that's about it, man. I mean, there's not too much to this story. King does put himself a lot into this album though, because actually it's about him and him experiencing this little girl coming to him and telling King the story of what happened to her, which is it's interesting story-wise, but I don't think it really makes a great it didn't really make a great album. I think there's a lot of things wrong with this. Ralph, what do you feel about this album overall?
Well, I gotta tell you, when it was new, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I listened to it, I don't know, 4 times after its release, all these years, didn't like it. Did notes today, ended up really liking it.
Really?
Yeah, weird. Today, listening to it, I was like, what the fuck was I thinking? I like this stuff. It's front loaded. Like, the best songs are in the first half of the album, but the second half, there's a couple clunkers, but you know, a couple okay tunes, but there's some great stuff on this album, in my opinion.
Interesting. What about you, Lou?
I feel bad saying this because it may make me out to sound like a snob, but it's how I personally feel. Like, when you listen to the first two Merciful Fate records, when you listen to everything from Fatal Portrait up to Voodoo, I'll even say House of God, the production is awesome. The songwriting is awesome. The songwriting here is not memorable, and the production is, for my taste, the worst that I've ever heard on a King Diamond album. So it's funny because I feel the opposite of Ralph, where he says it was front loaded, where he feels the first half of the album was good. I actually preferred it more towards from the second half,
like the middle
onward.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, everyone looks for different things when it comes to music, and it's all good. There's, no one's wrong, no one's right. It's just opinion. But you know, But Wayne, thanks for inviting me to the worst King Diamond album review. I mean, that means a lot to me. But yeah, I mean, you know, you release your classic stuff in the 80s. You release some of your most superior stuff in the 90s. This decade, I felt like, was the one where some of the classic artists released possibly their worst material, i.e. Ozzy. And, you know, it's... I guess you've been doing the gimmick so long, after a while, it grows uninspired. Maybe that's just what happened.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same about you. When I first heard this, I thought it was good. And then listening to it over the years and then listening to it today, I'm like, I couldn't wait for it to end. I don't know if I'm just like very impatient or what it was, but it didn't have the same feelings as I did back in the day. But it's interesting you changed your mind to actually liking it, Ralph. It's interesting. Let's get into the album. It starts off with Dead. It's just an intro. We don't really even need to get into that. It's just meh. I mean, you guys care about it?
I liked it. I thought it was nice and eerie with the little spoken word. Good little intro. I dug it.
What about you, Lou?
I mean, I thought it was a good build up to the first actual song.
Yeah. And then it gets into Never Ending Hill. I think it's a decent opening track. Kind of has a similar feel to something that would have been on Abigail 2, except this is more melodic. King gets a little personal here, mentioning his cat's magic and black, which I don't think he's done before anything about his personal life and his music. But I think it works here because this time this album is actually about him and his, you know, his character and how he's dealing with this thing going on in his house. What do you think about Never Ending Hill?
Well, Ralph ain't here, so I'll answer.
You might have to get up every once in a while, but that's
fine. That's fine. I said it kind of reminds me of Painkiller by Judas Priest. It's got a killer chorus. And this is where I started to notice that there was just something off about the production of the album. You know, again, I'm going to emphasize it just doesn't have the same bite as past albums like Fatal Portrait, Abigail Them, Conspiracy, Voodoo, or even House of God. But, you know, the songwriting is good as always, and you know, you can't deny King's vocal prowess or Andy Larocque's guitar playing skills, but I will say this seems like it's probably the one album where you don't hear King go into his high register falsetto as frequently as he used to, so it's kind of a departure.
You know what he does, but I don't know if it's the production that makes it sound like it's not as piercing as it would normally be. You know what I'm saying? Like back in the 80s, it had so much reverb on it. It sounded like this big thing when he would do that high falsetto voice. And now with this very modern production, and I think Andy Larocque produced it, right?
I think he produced all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all the new ones, like from like in the 2000s or something like that. Or
okay.
Whatever it was. But I just with that, with this bland and very modern, stale sounding production, I think it kills a lot of his vocal approaches, you know, especially even with the guitars and the drums and stuff like that. Everything just, there's no beefiness. There's no, you know, crunchy guitar sounding things. Everything just sounds like flat cardboard almost in a way.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's the thing. Like, you know, you take an album like Melissa or you take an album like Them, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, the guitars just cut through like chainsaws.
Right.
You mm-hmm. know, and I'm not taking anything away from Andy's playing, but it's just the overall package is. And I hate saying this because I love King Diamond's music, but it's lackluster. But, you know, we'll discuss that more before we get into the album. Ralph, your opinion on Never Ending Hill?
I love it. This is my favorite song on the album. Fast, ripping, killer, man. I think it's one of his better songs, man. I'd put this in my top 30 King Diamond songs, solo song, maybe even top 20. I think it's really good. That's what I think about it.
He's mentioning his cats. What do you think about that? Because this is, like I mentioned before, it's the first time he seems kind of like personal, you know, given like things about his real life. You know, he's got two cats and his animals' names and stuff like that. What do you think about that?
He mentions it in the song.
Yeah.
That he's got cats.
Yeah. The Black and Magic is his cats' names.
He's a cat dad.
And then he talks about butterflies as well.
All right. Well, the cats are called Black and Magic.
Yeah. Have you not listened to this album?
No, I don't remember, but I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Not only awesome that he named them in the song, it's awesome that he named them that.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I do like it.
Butterflies are evil as fuck. You may not know that.
If you get them in your stomach, they suck.
Have you gotten a butterfly in your stomach?
The day I met you?
I think I'm going to be sick.
Is anybody here?
Oh.
It's the next song. Another decent song. Nothing really stands out too much except for the ending solo.
That was directed at you, Wayne.
Yeah, I know. Otherwise, I kind of find the guitars a bit boring. What do you think about this one, Lou?
Good mid-paced rocker that, you know, kicks it up as the song progresses. And, you know, I've already mentioned it earlier, but I'll reemphasize it. I just feel like I'm noticing on the sound that King is not pushing his upper register as he normally would. And that's actually a quality of his voice that I miss. But, you know, I realize by this point, King is also pushing 50. So, you know, I have to take into account that I can't expect of him at 50 what he was able to pull off at 27, you know, but I'm just saying it's quite noticeable. You know, it could be for a multitude of reasons. You know, it could be age or health, and you know, at the time he was dealing with his heart issues, or you know, what we would find out later on. You know, I won't shame him for that, but you know, again, I'm still noticing that there's just something off about this album with the way that it sounds, and you know, by the next song, I'll point it out.
All right, Ralph.
Well, I just got to say, at this time, yeah, King was having some health issues. I think he sings now as good as he ever has.
Now, yes.
Yeah, he quit smoking because he was also a smoker back then. Mm. And yeah, dude, I think his voice is amazing now. All right, is anybody here? I love it. It's menacing, mid-tempo tune with the vocal melodies. At times, it's kind of off-center, and I like that. Yeah, I think it's really cool. It's another song I like off the album that I didn't like before.
Black of Night. This one I do like. Some crunching guitars, double bass drumming from Matt Thompson, some melodic vocals in this from King. I really like that Eastern European section after the chorus. Now, King's wife comes in here. She was on the intro, and then she's on this song as well. But sometimes it's very hard to tell which is King and which is her in a way, because they're very similar, you know. But the best part of this whole thing is towards the end, where King is going ow and oh because he's getting hit with something from this, you know, this ghost or whatever. It's very cheesy, but it's pretty cool actually, because once in a while he'll throw like these comedy things in some of the songs, and like his laughing and things like that. And I love that part of King Diamond when he does throw some humor in some of the songs. And yeah, so this one I do like this song. What about you, Lou?
Another good song, but it's at this point where I realize that I just find the whole rhythm section problematic. And it just sounds, you know, and you mentioned it earlier, Wayne, where it's like, you know, the earlier albums probably had like reverb entrenched where it just like, you know, highlighted that sound. Sorry?
Yeah. I'm agreeing with you. Yeah.
So that's probably what it is. And, you know, I'm just not used to it. You know, I'm not saying that the drummer has to be Mickey D. Just give me a little oomph on it.
Matt Thompson is, he's, I don't want to say better, but he would have been the better choice to be after Mickey D. It should have been Matt Thompson, you know, if he was around or whatever back then. Because he is like one of the best King Diamond drummers besides Mickey D, because he was the best.
Yeah,
but the great thing Matt Thompson can do, I think he's a little bit more versatile than the stuff that he does.
Hey, you know, I hung out with Matt quite a few times.
Oh, really?
He used to be in a band called Agora.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm friends with Agora, Santiago and them. And yeah, we used to hang out. They rehearse. I'd have, you know, I'd be at barbecues with the guy. Cool dude.
Yeah, he was nice.
I mean, he's got a great technique to his playing. I just feel like he was done an injustice with the way he sounds on the record.
Yeah, if you watch the interviews that we've done, there's two of them up now. Anybody's watching us, so the first two parts are up there now. And after this, probably on Friday, I'm going to release the third one. I would do it after here, but I don't have all that stuff to show it here anymore. But on the third interview, we answer fan questions and we kind of get into his why certain things are played the way they are. You know, King has, it's King's band, so right. Basically, what he says kind of goes in a way. He does let Matt go off a little bit, but it's more of what King wants him to play.
No, I get it.
If you heard Matt play his own stuff, you wouldn't even think it's the same guy.
But like you, Wayne, you know, I do love that Middle Eastern section in the middle. It kind of reminds me sort of like a reference to Abigail almost.
Mm, yeah.
So I do love that.
Yeah. Lou? I mean, not Lou, Ralph?
This song's freaking awesome, man. Yeah. It's got that King Diamond metallic, you know, stamp on it, all over it. What's wrong with that? I love that shit, man. And yeah, the Mid-Eastern stuff and the solo. I love this song, man. I'm telling you, this album blew my mind today. I think it's a great damn song. King Diamond, man.
This one's good, you know, and we need more songs like this on the album.
Yeah.
Scott Lubert, I think Abigail 2 had a better sound than House of God, but this one's too neat, which, yes, I agree. It's too...
I got to go back and check out Abigail 2, because I like this one way more than Abigail 2, and I didn't think that way before.
Song-wise, yes. He's talking about sound-wise. And you usually tell me you don't hear sound.
I don't know. I don't know nothing about production. Yeah. If I like it, I like it. I can't tell if the drum's too low in the mix and the vocals...
Yeah, there's some different sounds. But Mirror Mirror is the next song. This song reminds me a bit of something that could have been on House of God, where there's really not much going on. It picks up in the middle, which piqued my interest. Also, about this time in the album, I'm tired of hearing those goddamn tambourines, which he has done for the last probably three or four albums. But I really hope for the next album, if there ever is one, there's no more tambourines. Please.
Is he auditioning for Ian Astbury's spot in The Cult?
We got to knock off the tambourines. Big Evil Pops. What's up, Big Evil Pops? Do you think King micromanaged the album? Yeah, of course.
Of course. It's his band. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
I micromanaged his album.
What do you think, Lou? Mira Mira on the wall.
this is where the album starts to pick up for me. This sounds like classic King to me, and it's refreshing. It's refreshing for me that he has always kept his horror themed elements intact with like the prog metal stylings. I've always loved that about his music, and I've always felt that that's what separated him from everyone else that kind of came in his wake. And there have been a lot of, you know, heirs to the throne, or ones that claim to be. You know, it's just not the most memorable, but the song is a step in the right direction for the album.
Yeah. Ralph?
I love it. This one is kind of different to me. I'm digging it musically. It's kind of straightforward for King Diamond. I love the lyrics. This song's another winner, man.
Well, I've never seen you so positive about an album before.
I know. Most King Diamond albums, I'll point out a clunker or two, but so far, listening to this today, I'm like, where's the clunkers? Oh, it's coming.
It's coming.
But still, you know, I never lasted this long with no clunkers.
Yeah,
no, later King Diamond stuff.
Right.
You can't mess with anything from Spider's Lullaby down. I like all the songs from Spider Lullaby to Fatal Portrait. I love all those songs.
Yeah.
Got no problem with those.
Good stuff. The Cellar. This one's a bit slower, but it does pick up halfway through. I do like this song, but again, this kind of reminds me of a bit of something from House of God, the song Follow the Wolf. This song just has a bit more life to it. Towards the end, I like the little girl's voice because it was kind of weird the way he was like panning it left and right. And it was kind of creepy the way he had that on there. And I like that too, because all the older King Diamond albums, he never had any special guests. So it's kind of cool that he's adding these like little details in there. And I mentioned that too. And again, just, it's a decent song. You know, it's not a great song. It's there. It's decent. It's a King Diamond song. Ooh.
Really quick. I mean, I felt like it was kind of weak, but again, more of a closer step into the right direction, than any of the songs between, Never Ending Hill and Mirror Mirror.
Yeah. In the chat here, Big Evil Pop says he's getting the feeling that Ralph loves the album.
No, not really.
And Dick Twatkins is here. What's up, Dick Twatkins?
I'm sorry, what?
And he says,
the greatest name ever.
He says, Lou sounds almost identical to John Lovitz when he talks.
Well, of course. Haven't you met my wife, Morgan Fairchild?
Check out Lou's band, Wild Ride. They're amazing. Gasoline,
yes, they are.
WYLDRYDE, I think.
Yeah, I got
this. Whatever. Just type in Gasoline Alley. And type in Wild Ride, like WILDRIDE, and then put Gasoline Alley, and I'm sure it'll take you to the WYLD.
Sure. Yeah.
Nick, I love your... Sorry, Wayne, go ahead.
Put it in the chat how you spell that band's name. And
Mick, I love your cover of Def Leppard's Another Hit and Run. I really liked it. And for the record, yes, I can't help the fact that I sound like John Lovitz. I'm a disgrace to my Greek family members. Because I don't talk like this, but I can't help it. This is me.
Ralph, I get accused of sounding like Arnold Schwarzenegger all the time. So.
The Cellar, Ralph.
Oh, this song, man. It's another cool song. You know, I don't get how I didn't like this. This is awesome. I love the part where it's kind of like it's a little breakdown with kind of sounds like a kid talking. And that musical thing going on under that kid. Man, this song is a champion. I love it.
Wow. Dick Twatkins says, thanks, doctor. Appreciate the awesome words. You're welcome. Pictures in Red, again, it's just another little segue thing. What do you guys think about that?
I like it.
I don't think it was needed.
It's a little instrumental with spoken word. And, you know, I love this short little interlude, man, as well. I think this interlude is God.
I don't think I like this, Ralph. I like when you hate it.
You're going to hell, Wayne, for not liking this.
I think it would have been better if it was, if it front ended the title track, you know, just sort of like make it continuous this way. It's like, you know, segues into like a nice type of story setting. I giving it its own track. Yeah. Didn't care for it.
Then we get to Give Me Your Soul, Please. And I was reading about this earlier and I didn't realize this. You know, what the whole story is about with these two children that their father killed them or whatever. And the video for that song was, I think it was released 2 days before that Chris Benoit killed his family.
It was around that time that they released that video because that murder happened, that murder-suicide happened June of 2007. Mm. And that's when this album came out. So... perfect timing,
perfect bad timing, but I didn't realize that, and I read that before, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of creepy. You know who Chris Benoit was, right?
No, I don't. I'm not familiar with that story.
He was a pro wrestler who.
I know now. Yeah, he killed his wife and kid, right? Yeah.
And then killed himself. Yeah.
Did he have like steroid problems, or just was mentally?
Did they find CTE in his brain?
I think it was. I don't think they really ever said it. What it
actually,
was?
Actually, I'm not a wrestling guy, though I'm huge on 80s wrestling and 70s with Gordon Sully and stuff. I kind of lost, so I didn't know who this Chris Benoit guy was. And one day, just surfing YouTube, like 3-4 months ago, I saw it. I saw a little mini documentary how. Yeah, he killed his wife and kid. He was a pro wrestler. I didn't know him, though, at the time. You know.
Yeah, there wasn't any roid rage that happened with it. But, you know, I mean, what happened to him was similar to, like, what happened with Dynamite Kid of the British Bulldogs, where, you know, his finishing move was the diving headbutt. And, you know, when you impact your skull like that, when you're constantly hitting people, regardless if it's a work or not, you are hitting your head. On bone, it's bone against bone, or it's bone against wood, or it's bone against a table. You're gonna get brain injuries. So, you know,
that's what happened at the bridge. One of the British Bulldogs died because of that.
That was the Dynamite Kid.
He died because of brain.
Well, he had a whole myriad of health issues, but you know, he was also he did do roids. So you combine the roid rage with the brain injuries and, you know, the body damage and the kind of, you know, stuff that he was doing. It was an untimely death.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
I like the British Bulldogs. Ozzy Osbourne was with them at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And Alice Cooper's with Jake the Snake.
That's right. They threw the snake on Jimmy Hart. That was an awesome WrestleMania. You know, I went. You know, this is back in the, I don't think they have these things anymore. Back in the day, there were pay-per-views at arenas.
Right. Yeah, a closed circuit television.
Yeah, I went to WrestleMania, the one with Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. I went to that at a James L. Knight Center, like an arena, and we watched it, you know, on big ass TVs. That was an awesome WrestleMania. I got to say, one of the greatest matches ever was Macho Man. And was it Steamboat? My God, what a match that was. That, I thought, was the best match all day.
Yeah, definitely. What do you got there?
Oh, yeah.
Love
Sorry,
the
I had to. But that's cool. The only wrestling pay-per-view I ever went to was SummerSlam 98. I got to see the Insane Clown Posse. Woot, woot. Anywho.
Who thought we'd be doing King Diamond podcast?
Let's get back to the album. Yeah. Give Me Your Soul, Please.
Scott says, overproduced, a little too neat. I want to be scared when I listen to King Diamond, not feel like it's polished. Raw is good. And Big Eagle Pops, exactly how I feel. And Gordon Sully is the GOAT.
Hell yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And Mick
the
Watkins.
Missing Link. Remember the Missing Link?
What's weird is that Dynamite Kid was Benoit's hero, Mick Watkins said.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Yeah. And HBK was the greatest in-ring performer of all time.
No, he wasn't.
Who?
Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels. Marty Jannetty.
By that time I didn't know. I know that guy fell, right, and died?
No, that was Owen Hart.
Owen Hart. Okay, yeah. The Hitman Hart's brother.
Yeah.
I like Hitman. He's cool.
Yeah, he was. He was pretty good.
I loved Jim the Anvil.
Oh yeah.
That guy always cracked me up. They had this one time they were talking about British Bulldogs and Jim the Anvil, and you know they're going, they take because the British Bulldogs took their they had that little bulldog mascot.
Yeah, Matilda. And
Jimmy Hart's like, they take their orders from a bitch. And the hitman's cracking up and he's like, you hear that? From a bitch. He was awesome. He died not too long ago. I loved it. I was a big wrestling fan of the heels. I didn't like the good guys. I didn't. Right. I only
they had the best the lines.
I loved Honky Tonk Man, and he was a heel a lot of people hated. I love that guy because he was so ridiculous, you know.
Yeah, and he still looks like that today.
He does. You know, again, I love the fact that you referenced on Thrasher Die's first album, track one, you know, you referenced Roddy Piper.
My all-time favorite wrestler.
Yeah, you know, and I was like, I am a fan of this man for referencing Roddy Piper. So
I'm a huge fan of Piper. I have like 6 Roddy Piper shirts.
You know, nice.
I loved him, man. But I will say something controversial about Roddy Piper. The movie, it lives.
They Live.
They Live sucks till he puts on the shades. Everything before he puts down the shades was so long and plotting and boring. But when he puts on the shades, the movie then rules.
Yeah.
I know it's controversial, but how long did it take him to put on the damn shades? It must have been like about an hour of just boredom.
It was 25 minutes.
Was it? It seemed like an hour.
I just watched that for the first time, I think, last year.
It's a fun
really
movie. Yeah. I just never.
It is. I'm gonna pull my glass. I'll be right back.
I love it because it's a John Carpenter film, and like you know, I mean, Halloween, Big Trouble in Little China. I love John Carpenter. The Thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's a good
The
movie.
Thing is the greatest John Carpenter movie in my opinion.
I'm not gonna disagree with him on that statement.
Devil Dozer here. As a father of two, a son and a daughter, I find the murder of two children by their father on this album horribly unsettling. Even though it's a work of fiction, but the musicianship is top notch. Yeah, it's hard to, you know, even think of these things, you know.
Oh yeah.
When I first this album came out, my son wasn't born. I really don't think about stuff like that. But then, like he says, like you know, when you have children of your own, like it just puts everything in a different perspective, you know.
Oh yeah, it does. It makes it hard for me to sometimes watch a film where, you know that something bad is going to happen to the child.
Oh, it's yeah. Even
I can't watch Pet
movie,
Cemetery.
I watched that one, and then I watched the remake one, and then that kid gets hit by the car, and I'm just like, I can't watch it no more, you know. And then and even though it's a terrible movie, the Halloween one, I think it was the last one, where the kid falls off the fucking stairs, and it's like I'm done.
That didn't bother me that much.
That bothered me because
that kid was really annoying.
Yeah. Oh, the kids are all annoying.
I will tell you this. Yeah, I'm not into seeing kids get killed. Mm-hmm. But you know, also, I don't like kids at all in movies. It ruined T2. I'm sorry. Don't kill him, Terminator.
Well, I mean,
and the little girl in Aliens. I love it. Don't get me wrong. Aliens. Bill Paxton stole that damn movie. But that little girl annoyed me. I don't want kids in movies at all. They should outlaw all kids from movies.
Well, the exception to the rule, I would think, would be Michael Myers in the first Halloween film.
Well, yeah, that's different. Yeah,
that sets up the premise.
If you're going to have a kid in a movie, have them like butcher people. That's fine. I got to take this phone call, though. I'll be right.
No worries. Well, let's keep reading.
That's right. We'll keep reading in the chat here because there's a lot going on in the chat. As soon as we talk wrestling, all these wrestling people start talking. WrestleMania 3, everyone talks about Savage and Steamboat, but the money was Hogan and Andre. Of course it was, because that was what it was, build. You know, that was the big buildup for that match. But
that worked for him, brother.
I saw a Honky Tonk Man chilling at a flea market here in Louisville, Kentucky. Chowing down on a shitty looking corn dog, waiting for people to buy autographs. Yeah, I kind of felt sorry for him. I didn't buy one.
Nick, being that you live in Louisville, Kentucky, I'd like to ask, do you ever run into Jim Cornette?
Mm.
which, by the way, Wayne and I still have to do our version of Cornette Party, but we're in the middle of recording the fourth Severed Angel album.
I think Cornette Party is a little bit more important right now.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Hey, when's the new Severed Angel coming out?
Oh, May 3rd.
Right on.
Yeah, it's good.
We're very proud of it. Yeah, Skyward.
Actually, you know what? If we do that Jim Cornette song, maybe we should have Mick Watkins do the bass on it.
He's more than welcome to. I mean, you know, yeah. I like Mick.
That's fucked up. Why didn't you ask me to put bass on?
I didn't know you played bass.
I don't.
Oh, Ralph.
Hey, Sid Vicious didn't play bass. That didn't hurt him.
Yeah, right. All right, back to King Diamond now. Give Me Your Soul, Please. And like I mentioned, this is the first video off of this album. And I believe, was this a video nominated? It was like one of the heavy metal songs of that
year. I think it was nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah, I think it was. I'm going to have to get this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think I got the answer right.
But Grammys mean nothing to me.
No, it does not now. No, ever since the whole thing went down with Metallica and Jethro Tull, they've been nothing.
Okay.
This was the first single released with her. I said that around 100 times. It's really catchy and very energetic. Now, I do think the chorus could have been shortened a bit at the end because it kind of goes on a minute or two too long, but I really like it. This is how I like King Diamond songs to be. Also, too, because you can listen to it without listening to the whole album. It can stand on its own, and that's something that's been missing over the last few albums.
What's wrong with you?
A lot. We got time?
Yeah. We'll say, hey, tune in 2 weeks from now. We're going to do a program called Wayne's Problems.
Oh, God. It's going to have to be at least a two-parter.
It's not an intervention. It's a shit show.
Go ahead, Lou. Give me your soul, please.
No, thank you. Real quick.
Oh, please, come on.
It's my favorite song on the album. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. And again, this is where I hear the upswing in terms of songwriting and performance on this track.
I agree. Nobody cares. Ralph?
It's fast-paced King Diamond metal. Come on.
The way it should be.
Rules. And it's a smart, may not be my favorite track on the album, but it's a smart first single, though, to use. Because it is good. It's really, really good. It's got all the elements of kick-assness all over it. I love it. Fast. King sounds cool. Video's pretty cool, too, how that light shoots out of his mouth when King here and there. It's like, good stuff, man. I mean, it's that horrible computer-generated crap, you know, but it was the best that was around at that time.
Right.
But it's still cool as fuck, man. I dig it. I love it. I love Give Me Your Soul, Please. Another winner.
And then you mentioned the video, too. There was a guy playing drums. I don't think it was Matt Thompson. I don't know if I asked him this, but there's a guy in the video, and he's got long hair, and it's covering his face, so you can't see who it is. But I don't think it's Matt playing drums on that video. I could be wrong. Doesn't matter. The Floating Head. Like the last song, this one's a bit more energetic, and I like the more faster King Diamond songs, as well as a catchy chorus, which again, this one has. I also like how the chorus is different with the lyrics each time as well. I thought that was pretty cool because he doesn't really do that too often. Usually they repeat, but he changed them up a bit. Lou?
Again, another track that I thoroughly enjoyed. You know, it's pretty much the same as everything you just said. And I really don't have anything else to add to it.
Yeah.
Except that's the thing, this man. This is where I'm starting to find my love for the album.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Ralph?
I listened to this today. I'm like, I'm surprised. I still haven't heard a song that sucks on this. Because this kicks ass. You know, the song is great. Some of the vocal melodies, I would say it's not great. But it's not bad. I mean, it does have a couple little flaws. But it's another fast-paced song and it has like some little chunga thrash riffs here and there. I love it, man. This song is the father of Jesus.
Really? I don't think King would like that, though.
I feel it's godly.
Cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice, my love.
God.
Another song.
I can't believe you cross-referenced Foreigner in a King Diamond episode.
Another song I like, even though it kind of feels a little empty in certain parts, like the ones that are similar to the intro, you know, how it kind of like sounds like empty. There should be something else in there somewhere. But again, it sticks out from the other songs from being so different, and it's kind of memorable. But yeah, just those one that part, like it's like dan 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 dan, like that weird guitar thing in the middle there. It's weird. It just sounds very empty, but it's a good song.
It's a bit eccentric, but I mean, you know, it's decent.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I ask, why are the better songs towards the latter half of the album?
Well, that's according to us.
Well, fine.
Ralph?
Here's where the album hit a snag for me. Don't like it. I don't like this tune. Yeah. I was like,
it's weird. It's weird.
It would have been more horror based if he did Ice Ice Baby instead.
Oh,
like
man.
If he was to do the King Diamond version of Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby, and by the way, cannot change a lyric off that Vanilla Ice classic. With King Diamond doing the falsettos, that would have scared the crap out of everyone.
That would be interesting. Maybe we can work something out with that. Shapes of Black. This reminds me of a lot of No More Me from the Puppet Master. It seems very similar, almost like it really was like some of these parts were really taken from that song somehow. This one I'm not crazy about at all.
It's quite carny. But, you know, I don't hate it, but it is very carny.
It is. It's that harpsichord thing, too, right?
Never liked the harpsichord. Like, the way Ralph
I like the real one. The real one. When you don't, but this is, like, computer-generated harpsichord, and it's just,
Right, but it's an instrument I never liked. It's like how Ralph feels about brass and woodwind instruments in rock music. The only song that I feel could have gotten away with the harpsichord was In My Life by the Beatles, and that's it.
Ralph.
This one is kind of dopey, but it's not bad. You know, I like the little creepy changes in the song. Song's not great, but it's far from bad. It's all right.
Yeah, there is worse. The Girl in the Bloody Dress. This one's okay, but again, like most of these songs, it just seems stale and bland. Yeah, there's some great playing by everyone, but there's just nothing here.
It's unmemorable. I mean, it's not bad, but it's unmemorable. And, you know, what I've always loved and respected about King Diamond, you know, whether he was solo or as a member of Merciful Fate, is that he never followed trends. He set them, you know, and like you think about what was happening in 2007. You know, you had your Shadows Fall. You had your Killswitch Engage. You had, you know,
could you see a new metal King Diamond album?
What?
Could you see like a new Metal King Diamond album?
No, I never called it a new Metal King Diamond.
No, but I'm saying like if he was going to follow trends, could you see him doing that?
No, not at all. Nor would I want to. I don't want to like remove my ears and say, my God, what have I done to myself? No. Another band that was actually label mates with King Diamond, which was As I Lay Dying, you know, and they were, I hate to admit it, but you know, some of those bands and ones that sounded just like them, but worse, were what were, you know, leading the charge for metal in that era. And, you know, I know King could have recorded something better than this, you know, and I would definitely say, if you're going to ever start listening to King Diamond, don't start with this record.
Mm-hmm. And I feel bad like putting this album down too, because I'm sure there's some people first watching this show for the first time or whatever, and we've done this podcast for the past I think 2-3 years almost now, I think it's been, and we're huge King Diamond fans. It's just this is just a little bit of a letdown to us, well, for some of us anyway. Ralph loves this album.
Not me, I'm digging it.
What do you think of this? I don't remember what song we're on. The Girl in Bloody Dress.
This one was not left in the oven too long. I hear potential of a really great song, but they didn't work enough on this one. I feel they could have made this one much better. So yeah, it's kind of half baked. It could have been great. That's how I feel about that. That's why I feel the sound's front loaded.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Moving on. To me, the title says it all for me. I'm moving on. Hopefully the new album to the new album, because there's just not much here. I mean, the song does have some sad emotion to it. And I like hearing King's Wife doing more singing on this album. I think it's pretty good. But I just couldn't wait for it to end, because it's just a lot of time. I just wanted the album to end, you know. And I hate saying that for a King Diamond album, but this one has its moments, but they just, they're too far and in between to be a constant great album. Also, the overall sound of this album is just very lifeless. A lot of these songs could have really shined if they just sounded better and more in your face instead of just there in a very modern sounding King Diamond album. And I need the next one to have some more reverb and some more balls.
Luke. Yes, well... Oh, go ahead, Lou. Oh,
no, let Ralph go first. Right,
go ahead, Ralph. Whatever.
Better than the last few songs. I'm not saying it's as good as, like, you know, the beginning half, but it's all right. It's not bad. It's a good ending to it. Not great ending, but it's a good ending.
It finishes the story.
Yeah, and it just improves from the last few songs. Like, the last three songs, I don't think, are as good as this last song. So... But I don't think this song is as good as the first half of the album. So, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, it's okay. Not bad.
Yeah. But that's not what a King Diamond album should be. It should be all great.
It should always end wanting more.
Yeah.
Not, oh, I can't wait till this is over.
Yeah, exactly. Luke.
I like the twist of the album. I mean, you know, the premise is of these two kids who were killed by their father. The ones the son's soul goes to hell. The sister is trying to, like, you know, bring him out of hell. And who's the person that she goes to? King Diamond. King Diamond's like, oh no, I'm not pure of sin. So, you know, go elsewhere. You have until morning. And who's the person that the sister goes to? You, the listener. You're the one that's pure of sin, and you're the one whose soul that she wants. So I thought that was a pretty cool twist, you know.
Yeah.
Just wish the album was better executed, but you know, I do appreciate the twist.
I wish the song was better. That's all. Big Evil Pops. I find that most bands now don't worry about making complete albums. They focus on having singles that get over, mostly because the instant gratification generation. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Ace Frehley should have released an EP.
Yeah, yes, he should have. And you can watch that episode that we talked about that album on Almost Human, right, Ralph?
That episode did a phenomenal.
I saw that.
The singles are a hard listen on that record. I can't get through. And I love Ace. You know, I love. He was always my favorite member of Kiss. But man, I don't know what Steve Brown did to him. But I don't think I like it.
Turn him into a pop star.
What's Steve Brown gonna do? Make it good? It's Trickster.
When was the last good Trickster?
Oh, by the way, Steve Brown left a comment on my Ace review.
Really?
Yeah, very nice. He said, "Thank you for listening. Hopefully, it will grow on you." I thought that was a nice. I wrote back, "Yeah, hopefully it will." I thought that was nice of him to say that.
Yeah.
I've heard nothing but nice things about him as a person. So,
gotta have a thick skin in this business.
I wonder if Steve Brown has ever seen a comb.
I haven't. I have no reason to.
Nice guy. Nice comment. All right, I'll give him that. But seriously, it's like I was hoping. Hey, maybe Steve Brown didn't want to give Trickster any good music and saved it all for Ace, but no, he gave him Trickster music.
When was the last Trickster album? Like, have they?
The question.
What I know. Actually, I'll be honest with you. I did a Trickster dive, like I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, when I heard he was working with Ace, and I was like, you know what, man? I never gave Trickster like a fair. I saw a couple of their videos back in the day, and I just thought it was terrible.
Yeah.
So I went online and I listened to 2 Trickster albums. Well, maybe a Trickster album, because every song I listened to from the first 2 albums, it was like maybe 30 seconds, 40 seconds, next song, next song. There was nothing appealing to me.
Yeah,
the name Trickster. I mean,
the name on its own, it tells you right there.
Hey guys, I got a name for the band Trickster. Get the fuck out of here. What's wrong with you?
That's how I always felt that when I was younger too, when I heard that name. Like, eh, I don't think so. Well, this was fun. I really enjoyed doing this, and I wish Greg was here. Man, I wish Greg was really here, because he suffered listening to this album, and I wanted to hear his thoughts. But sorry, Greg. But hopefully he'll be here next week when we have Becky Baldwin, who is now the newest bass player for Merciful Fate. She'll be here next Wednesday.
And I'm sorry I can't be here. KK's Priest is playing that night.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you have fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a great show, man.
You enjoyed it. You need to have fun. All the shit you've been going on, you need to have
fun. Yeah. And I really want to see Burning Witches.
Oh, yeah. I heard they're pretty good, too, right? That's an all female band, right?
Yeah, they're awesome. I got two of their albums. They're awesome.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Well, good luck with that. And hopefully everything goes well with that show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Lou.
Thank you for having me.
I think this is your second time you've been on this show.
This is my second time. My first time was Conspiracy with Mr. Vieira and you and Greg. And I had a blast then. Glad I'm back. I just wish it was for a better album. But, you know, all things considered, you know, I'm always happy to wave the Rat Style review flag.
You can come on next week, too. I'll let you come on.
Well, I'm on it anyway, so shut up.
Oh, that's right. All right. But Lisa will be here next week. She actually has a band practice that day. She's going to end it early just to be here for that episode. So that's going to be really cool. We got two bass players. You play bass player too, Lou, right?
I just don't have it on me right now because I just added a new guitar to my arsenal, a Dean V. So very happy about that.
Very cool. Very cool. So we're going to have some bass player talk going on next week, and it's going to be very fun. A lot of fun with that. And then at some point, I want to do a King Diamond trivia show. So we got to make sure everybody's available for that, because that's going to kind of like end this show until like a new album ever comes out, which it probably never will. But we'll try to do that at some point. Lou, you down for a road trip in September to see Slayer? Big Evil Pops wants to know. I guess it's in Pennsylvania.
No. I've seen Slayer twice. First time I saw them was with the original lineup at Ozfest. And as much as I love them, when I saw them with King Diamond at Mayhem Fest, nothing will ever top seeing the original lineup, you know. So
I say that all the time, Lou. I've seen Slayer like maybe 20 times, and like I've seen them with Lombardo and Hanneman about 10 times, maybe. Those were always the best Slayer shows,
right? And no disrespect to Gary Holt or Paul Bostaph, it's just
fine. But it just doesn't have that magic, man.
Yeah.
Especially that Lombardo groove, man. Bostaph is great and all, but Lombardo's more, less mechanical. Let's say it that way. The guy's a beast.
Well, he's got that that Cuban fluidity in his playing, you know? Like, he's just,
More danger with Lombardo.
You know, he does not play it safe. But thanks for the invite, though, Paul. I appreciate it. But, you know, I don't know what concerts I'm seeing this year. So far, they haven't. For my birthday, I would like to go see Maiden in Brooklyn, just because I'd like to. Somewhere in Time is my second favorite Maiden album after Killers. So I would like to see the Future Past Tour just so I could hear those songs once and just be happy. So
hopefully your birthday wish comes true.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, me too. And a little reminder, if you go see Maiden, go like this with your eye so you can have Yannick Gears blocked from your vision as you watch the Peace of Mind lineup.
My problem with that, Ralph, is I'm sure he's going to run back and forth acting like a loony. So,
true. Well, yeah. Do this.
I like that.
Anything going on with you, Ralph?
Yeah, I'll be sucking dick tonight at 2 a.m. at 163rd Street Glory Hole. And
very cool.
After that, I'll just be hanging out with the junkies, man.
Cool, man. Cool. All right. Thank you, everybody, for watching the show. I had a lot of fun with this. And don't forget, severedangel.bandcamp.com.
Well, I was going to show Absalon first. Go check out Wayne's
Hey, I ordered that. It's still not here, Wayne. You ripped me off.
Really? Yeah, you'll never see that.
I don't know how I got it before the album was released. It just happened that way.
It's a bootleg.
Well, I bought one.
But, you know, Alex and Wayne from Severed Angel are in this band, and it's a killer album, so check this out.
NoLifeToMetalRecords.com. You can get that.
No Life to Metal?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's the name of the record company?
No yes, Life sir.
To Metal?
Yeah.
That is the coolest name ever from any record company. Bite me, Metal Blade.
And, of course, the debut album from Severed Angel is out. Don't forget, Skyward comes out May 3rd. And pre-order your copies now at severedangel.com. That'll take you directly to the Bandcamp page.
Yeah, very exciting. A lot of stuff going on this year. And it might be some new Project Resurrect music coming out. And possibly a new singer with Project Resurrect, but we'll talk about that another time. Until then, everybody have a great night. Listen to some King Diamond. Don't listen to Give Me Your Soul, Please. Well, go ahead if you want to, but there's better albums. Go to Fatal Portrait and go listen to that tonight. But oh, actually, wait a minute before I leave, 10 p.m. about an hour from now, I guess. I'll be at freeworld.fm playing some music. Just a bunch of new bands, a bunch of old bands, just a bunch of stuff. And it's going to be a really fun show. So please join me over there, freeworld.fm at 10 p.m. Eastern. All right, guys. See you later. Adios. Bye-bye.